Okay, lecture three is about maximum likelihood inference. It's about how you estimate the parameters in a statistical model. And what you learn here is necessary for the course, and it's also very useful generally. This is something most of you will meet statistics in one form or the other, or perhaps all of you, and you will always then have to estimate parameters. And this is the general method for estimation. What you learn here in this course will be helpful not just for financial risks, but for many other things. And what I'm talking about here is on page 2 of lecture 3. So it's page 2 of lecture 3. And the material is covered in Stuart Coles's book, page 30 to 43. And I've throughout given, I mean, in the other lectures too, told you to look at Cole's book, and you really should do it. It's very useful. It's useful for the course, and it's useful for generally. So it's a very good thing to read the pages in Stuart Coles's book, which are referred to here. So we're still on page 2, lecture 3, and the problem is to estimate the parameters. So we had the peaks over thresholds model and the generalized extreme value distribution, and they both, the generalized Pareto and the generalized extreme value distribution and the Poisson process, all has parameters which one doesn't know and then has to estimate from data. And maximum likelihood method is the way of doing this. And the way it goes is that you use a likelihood function, and sort of vaguely, this is a function which shows how the probability or likelihood of getting the observed data depends on the parameters. And what you do then is that you choose the parameters which gives the probability of observing what you actually have observed, makes that as big as possible. So it seems like a sort of intuitively good idea. It is a mathematically good idea too, that you estimate the parameters by those values which makes the observations as likely as possible. So the setup is as follows. You have x1 up to xn or observations of IID random variables x1 up to xn, which have a density function f of x, and I've written it in the end of the line as f of x colon theta. Theta is sort of typically a vector. It's a standard name for the unknown parameters. So in the peaks over thresholds method, for example, theta would be a three-dimensional vector, and the components would be sigma, gamma, and lambda. And typically, lowercase letters means observations, and uppercase letters means random variables. So it depends on how you think about things. Here we have little x1 up to little xn. They are just numbers. Maybe there was what you saw on the my favorite plot about the percent apple returns. So little x1 would then be 2.1, little x2 would be something like 2.3, and so on. And then you think of them as observations of random variables, and they have a density function. This is something you're very used to from basic statistics and from the previous slides, of course. And I also written theta is a vector. That's a vector of unknown parameters. And in general, they are theta 1 up to theta d. So you have d unknown parameters. In this course, they will typically be, d will be 3. So we have 3 unknown parameters. And then the likelihood function, capital L of theta, is obtained as follows. You take your density function, little f of x theta, you plug in the first observation into it. So this would be, in the example I talked with, the first factor in the product would be f of 2.1, I think I said, theta. The next one would be f of 2.3 theta, and so on up to f of x and theta. That's a likelihood function. It shows the probability, how the probability of getting the observed data depends on the parameters. Then it's products is a little bit more difficult to handle, both theoretically and computationally. So one typically, instead of the likelihood function, one looks at the log likelihood function. So little L of theta is obtained by taking the logarithm of capital L of theta. And of course, if you take logarithms, then product becomes sums. So little L of theta is the logarithm of f of x1 theta plus the logarithm of x2 theta, and so on. This is the log likelihood function, which we'll use a lot. And then one should notice that taking logs is a monotone function. That means if you maximize capital L of theta or you maximize little L of theta with respect to the parameters, you get the same results. And the ML estimates are the values theta hat, theta 1 hat, up to theta n hat, theta d hat, which maximizes the log likelihood function. Then some general comments. The maximum likelihood estimates often have to be found through numerical maximizations. So you cannot get, in general, you cannot get formulas. For the normal distribution, for example, you get formulas. For the, as we will see, for the Poisson distribution, you get formulas. But generally, you have to solve the optimization problem numerically, the optimization problem of finding which thetas optimize little L of theta. And in general, in the general situation, there's no guarantee that there will be a maximum. The maximum doesn't may not exist. And sometimes they might instead might be several local maxima, which makes numerical maximization difficult. Probably one should then, if you can find it, take the largest maximum. But typically, these problems don't occur if the number of observations is large. The n, the number of values you've observed of the value of the x variables. And here, large depends very much on the situation. So it's different for different statistical models. For the models we're looking at here, the generalized Pareto and the generalized extreme value distributions, large might be, mean at least 20 and maybe preferably a little bit more. Now, page 3 of lecture 3, it's my favorite picture, so I'm just reminding of it. In the block maxima method, the observations are the four blue circles and the values in the four blue circles, and the statistical model is the generalized extreme value distribution. We had the density in lecture 1. So you have the density for this generalized extreme value density, and then you plug in the first value in the first blue circle, and then you get the value which depends on which parameters you have in the generalized extreme value distribution. It's different for different values. Then you do the same. You take the density for the generalized extreme value distribution. You plug in the value in the second blue circle. And then you multiply this with what you already have. Then you do the same thing for the third blue circle and the fourth blue circle. And in the end, you have for this set of observations, you have a product of five terms, of five densities. If one instead would do the peak-so-threshold method, then you first take all the red squares, subtract two, and then you plug them in sequentially in the density function for the generalized Pareto distribution and take the product of all of them. So that's one part. And the second part is that you take the n, the number of exceedances you've had, and plug that into the Poisson probability. I'll go through this fairly carefully in slides to come. So now we do this, and on page four. So page four of lecture three, there's an example, and that is maximum likelihood estimation of the parameters in the peaks over threshold model. So page four, and you look at the top, there is some notation. Capital T is the length of the observation period. And what the observation period means depends a bit on what model you use. You have to think about it. Well, you have to think about how you measure time. Is it in days or years or weeks? You have to be careful when you think about that. Capital N is, as usual, the number of observed excesses. And you remember, this is a random variable. And x1 up to xn are the observed excess sizes, where now you don't have a little n at the last value, but a capital N, the random variable capital N. And here, as you remember, x1 is in the apple plot, it's maybe 2.1 minus 2, so it's 0.1 and so on. And the parameters, theta, they are sigma, gamma, and lambda. So that's what gets into the likelihood function. And here, it's a little bit more complicated than the what I showed you on the first, on page two, or what we discussed in page two, because there's sort of two different kinds of observation. And the first thing you should remember is that the probability of observing n excesses is a Poisson probability with parameter lambda times capital T. So this probability is lambda capital T to the power n divided by n factorial e to the minus lambda T. This is independent of the excess sizes, or the sizes of the excesses. So then the full likelihood function, L of theta, which is the function L of lambda, sigma, gamma, it's a product of the likelihood for the Poisson variable and for the observed excesses. So if you see L of lambda, sigma, gamma, that's first you get the Poisson probability, which I just talked about. And then you get a product of capital N generalized Pareto densities. And this product, in the first one, there's an unknown parameter, sigma and gamma. And then there is the observations. So as before, x1 was 2.1 minus 1, minus 2 perhaps. So it was 0.1. x2 was maybe 2.2 minus 2, so it's maybe 0.2, and so on. Now, when we have the likelihood function, we at once get the log likelihood function by taking logarithms. So, and the expression you get downstairs in the second row is, of course, obvious. You can see it at once. And now we wanted to find the maximum of this expression. We want to find the gamma, sigma, and lambda, which maximizes this expression. And the typical way of finding maxima is that you take derivatives and then set them to zero. So if we start by taking the derivative with respect to lambda, well, then the first term in little l is n log lambda. And you take the derivative of that with respect to lambda. Well, you get the n, and then the derivative of the logarithm of lambda is 1 over lambda. And then that's just one more term which depends and then all the term which doesn't contain a lambda, of course, when you take the derivative of them, you just get 0. So n log t, the derivative with respect to lambda, 0. Log n factorial, the derivative with that with respect to lambda is 0. The derivatives of the two terms in the second line are also 0 because they don't contain any lambdas. So the only additional thing which has a lambda is the last term in the expression on the first line for little l of lambda sigma gamma, and that's lambda t. And of course, if you take the derivative of lambda t with respect to lambda, you get a t. So the derivative with respect to lambda, if you look below the expression, the derivative with respect to lambda of the log likelihood function is n over lambda minus t. And then you set this equal to 0, and you get the estimate, maximum likelihood estimate of lambda. And this is n over t. And what one does typically then to get estimates of sigma and gamma, you take different derivatives and set them to 0. But the expressions you get, you cannot give a solution in formula. So you have to use some numerical package. You have to do numerical maximization to find sigma hat and gamma hat. You can't get formulas. So next thing will be asymptotic properties, and that will be for the next sound clip.